From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Jake Skorheim in for Jack Stein today. We're going to talk a little bit about the high cost of rent in Seattle. While national reports saying it's going down, renters are finding something different. Talk about homeowners who would love to downsize, to upsize. But the fact that the mortgage they hold is so attractive, the interest rate is so attractive, they're not going anywhere for a while until national rates go down. And from what we've heard from economic indicators, that's not going to happen anytime this year. But let's real quick turn our attention to what happened in New York City today. The trial of former President Trump's hush money trial. We're not going to talk about that. We've done enough about that. Today in the designated protest area outside the courthouse where supporters of the former president and those who are opposed to his return to office, I guess, are gathered outside, but not in large numbers. Today, a man who was believed to have been a conspiracy theorist by the number of pamphlets and the content of those pamphlets he was carrying, a man lit himself on fire.
Yikes.
In New York today, outside the courthouse where the jury was being impaneled in the Donald Trump trial. But by accounts, firsthand accounts, the man had was muttering and talking about various conspiracy theories, doused himself in a flammable liquid. One witness said he thought it was gasoline, but there's been no official reports yet, and took out a lighter, lit himself on fire. Law enforcement at the site of the incident actually put the man out with a fire extinguisher. He's been taken away in an ambulance, but we have no medical updates on this man's condition at the moment.
It's crazy. I mean, obviously, that's crazy to do something like that. But just I'm watching, like, you know, we have these TVs on in the studio right now.
Yeah.
And that's all anybody's talking about. I mean, it's just it's not the man who lit himself on fire, but it is all Trump related. And it's on every news station. They're talking about Trump trial. I just feel like people are getting so much of it.
Yeah.
Whenever I see it, it's kind of crossed this bridge for me. Wherever I see Trump news now, my eyes just kind of bounce to something else. I just go, oh, geez.
Are we all as a nation getting fatigued by it?
Of course. Yes, I think everybody is.
To the point of not caring anymore one way or the other? We're just whatever, what happens, happens?
There's just so much of it.
Too much of it, yeah.
How could you still manage to, you know, want to focus your time on it?
To care.
I know that people do, and I'm not trying to be critical of people out there who care a lot about it, but it is one of those things where, I mean, like, just personally, when I see it on every single news station and I hear it on all the news updates and everything, I just kind of go, well, what else is going on like in the world?
Well, here, at least give me some other stories close to mine. I appreciate your perspective as I share it. And I think a lot of people out there will tell you the exact same thing. They feel the exact same way. Rents in the Seattle area and much of the nation rose sharply during the early years of the pandemic. Since 2023, the rent market has softened, giving relief to some renters. That's at least according to industry reports nationally. But looking at some local survey data from the U.S. Census Bureau, Seattle area renters do not agree. They say that rents have gone up in all units of all sizes, whether it be home rentals or apartment rentals, even studio apartment rentals. It's increases of as much as 53%, 64% for home rental prices in the city of Seattle.
It's interesting. This the story does break it down. They say there are more than a million Seattle area adults who rent in the city around the city. And they project that 658,000 of those adults say that their rent went up sometime in the last 12 months. And, I mean, that's, you know, it's everything is getting more expensive.
It's, you know, we love in Seattle that we have these industries that have taken root here or were born here, whether it's Microsoft initially.
Amazon,
Boeing. Amazon's the latest people to come and realize. And when you're bringing in young professionals who are making six-figure incomes, oftentimes, one's not the first of those six figures. It's a $200,000 or more income, and they can afford to pay high rent prices.
People are going to raise the rents.
That's what renters are going to ask for.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How long have you lived in your house?
We've been homeowners for over 30 years. We've been in our current home for about 19 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you live in Seattle before you and your wife bought a home? Were you ever a renter in town?
I was a renter in Seattle. When I moved to Seattle in the late 80s, my first apartment was a one-bedroom apartment right in downtown, or Queen Anne Hill, lower Queen Anne Hill, over $600 a month for a one-bedroom apartment. And then my next one was $750 for a two-bedroom apartment. When my wife and I were married, we had our oldest daughter.
I'm always interested in this because there seems to be this idea that, like, Seattle has just gotten expensive and it's just just recently, like, oh, it's spiked up. I can't believe how much rent has increased.
Yeah.
That hasn't been my experience. Like, my wife and I, before I got married to my wife, I lived in Green Lake. And I was right out of college. I wanted to live near the station,
mm-hmm.
but I also wanted to live in like a cool area that had lots of recreation and lots of things to do. Yeah. And so I found this spot on Craigslist. You guys remember Craigslist?
Sure. It's where scammers go to, yeah.
Do people still use Craigslist? Is that still a thing or is it just OfferUp now?
Yeah, I found my current place on Craigslist.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, but that was 5 years ago.
Oh, okay. Well,
but, yeah.
That's still semi-current.
Yeah.
But when I found, so I moved back from college. I'm all excited about living in Seattle. And I start to look at the prices, and this is, you know, like I'm trying to think, this is back in 2007.
Okay.
So, you know, we're talking about, you know, a good chunk of time.
Yeah, 15 to 20 years ago.
15, 20 years ago almost. Jeez Louise, that makes me feel old. So 15, 20 years ago, I could not find a place. It was so expensive.
What price range were you looking for, a one-bedroom place at that point, right?
Well, I would have been happy with a studio. I wouldn't have been happy with anywhere where I could live on my own. But that just wasn't in the cards.
Okay.
And so I found three roommates, and I moved in with three roommates.
Yeah.
And we all shared a place. We had one bathroom. We had four dudes. We had, you know, a pretty great place, actually. We were in a triplex, so like we were in the middle floor of a building that had been turned into three units.
Right.
And I loved it. And it was fantastic. And so, but the cost, prohibitive for a single person. Very, very expensive. So like I totally empathize or sympathize, whatever the word is, probably both, with anybody going through right now saying like, man, rent has got really expensive. But it has been expensive in Seattle for a long time because we have had these industries, like you talk about, that have been doing very, very well.
Absolutely.
And one of the things I'm always confused by is when people start saying, oh, it's so expensive, it's so expensive, and they're not willing to leave town just a little bit. Like, they could move a little bit further outside of town and save some money, which I did. Like, when I was ready to buy a house, I'm not saying I've made every perfect decision. I absolutely have not.
Right.
But when my wife and I were ready to buy a house, Seattle was not an option for us because the average price of the house in Seattle is like what, like $900,000 or it's like near $1 million.
It's near $1 million, yeah, for the median house price.
And so we said, you know, what if we did something crazy? What if we left town? What if we didn't live in Seattle?
Right. That's the only option for most people.
A lot of people are having to move out of to a totally different state. I mean, this whole region has gotten very expensive. But we moved a little further north and we love it. Just like my experience moving in with those four guys who are now like the godfathers of my kids.
Nice.
You know, you have to adjust your expectation of what life is going to give you. But sometimes it's like, you know, life closes the door. It opens a really great window.
Sure.
And so, you know, I was interested in your experience with rent back in the day.
Well, you know, I'm closer to retirement than I am to next promotion. I honestly feel that way.
Don't say that.
I'm telling you. We never had to worry about the recent. We were already homeowners by the time
time you got married?
By the time, yeah. No, we got married as renters, but we bought our first home in 94. So before things got crazy, we were already homeowners and locked into a mortgage.
You're right, yeah.
You don't have to worry about that. But I've got a kid who's trying to rent in Seattle, and they have to leave town and live up in the suburbs of the city. And they're building everywhere. They're building in Northgate. They're building in Linwood. They're building all over the place in all directions.
And now with light rail, there is more accessibility.
Yeah, yeah,
have they tried? Has your kid tried living with roommates? Is that an option?
Right out of college, it was.
Yeah.
You know, but now they're living on their own. This is my older daughter who got married.
Sure.
Or got engaged, I should say. Now.
Yeah.
Getting engaged.
Well, she'll
my
have a lifelong roommate.
Yeah.
Very soon.
Yeah. If they can afford a place.
Yeah.
And that's one of the concerns they've got right now. You know, but rent is going to be what rent's going to be. I'm totally losing my train of thought.
Can I play a clip for you?
Sure.
I've played this on my show a couple of times. I got this in last week and I found this. I'm going to find it here really fast. But I find this really fascinating because I do think, and Laura, I'd love your opinion on this actually. I'd love your opinion on
our resident renter, by the way. Yeah. Who's looking for an apartment as we speak.
Okay. So this is a guy. This is a young guy. He's a Gen Zer, which means he's in his low 20s. I'd say he's probably like 23, 24. And he's on TikTok, as Gen Z likes to do. He's on TikTok, and he is very upset about the fact that he doesn't seem to be able to work enough to afford the life that he wants. And so I'm going to play you some audio, and I'd love your response to this. Do you think that this is a good approach, like going onto TikTok and basically like screaming about not
whining?
Being able to afford life?
Okay, I know
life.
Your opinion.
Well, no, I don't want to sway the jury, but do you find this incredibly annoying guy reasonable in any way?
Can somebody explain to me in crayon eating terms why I make over three times the federal minimum wage and I cannot afford to live? And I do not want to hear the pull yourself up from your bootstraps, work 90 hours a week. That's not the goal, guys. That's not. That should not be our standard.
So he's upset about having to work whatever he works. And the minimum wage, the federal minimum wage is not high. It's like $7.25 an
right,
hour.
It's ridiculous.
So he's making what? Like he's making
probably $20 an
22
hour.
$22 an hour,
yeah,
maybe,
probably.
And change.
Yeah.
Locally here, our minimum wage is in Seattle is $19.97. So obviously that's not a problem if he worked here. If he made, you know, three times minimum wage, he'd be doing
pretty
when
well. He said three times the minimum wage, I was like, do you need help budgeting that?
Yes.
Like, I know.
It's
my first
that's
money. Too.
Good.
Do we know where this guy's from?
We don't know where he's from. He posted this on TikTok.
I would venture to offer that he's not talking about three times 7.25.
No,
he's probably talking about three times the minimum wage where he lives.
That could
be. And then it may be a budgeting issue because that sounds like a guy like there's probably got premium cable packages. He probably eats a lot of Grubhub.
I can't speak to his monthly, his monthly
budgeting skills.
Skills. But Laura, what do you think of that? This guy wants to live. Like, listen to this real quick, and then let's get your feedback. He desperately wants to live alone, but he's saying he can't afford to live alone, and now he's angry that he can't live alone.
I am so f-ing tired of people being complacent with this uniparty, both of them f-ing us over. When my parents were my age, they both made less than half of what I make, and they lived alone. I cannot afford to live anywhere alone. A one-bedroom apartment, $1,800. Two-bedroom apartment, $2,200. Who the f- can afford that?
What do you think about that, Laura?
I don't know
what they're paying his editor, but he earns his money. The guy who edits that guy's video earns his money.
So I do, as a person who has been living with roommates and is now looking for a one bedroom, it is a huge cost increase.
It's a big jump.
Yeah. I did not mind living with roommates for as long as I have. It's been great. I've made so many good friends that way. I think if you're a reasonable, normal person, you'll be able to survive a roommate situation.
Roommates can be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I just haven't had any roommate horror stories,
very lucky.
Maybe that's where I'm biased.
But his tact here of saying, like, you know, he's working whatever he's working.
He's working full-time and bringing down a not hateful income. He still can't make it.
Is that something that you think, like, is this the right approach to go on TikTok and just yell about it? Or would you recommend, what would you recommend for this young man if he's listening right now?
You might
sympathize with him. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that depending on where you live, the rent prices are going to be higher. The rent prices he's describing are what it looks like in Seattle, probably even higher for a two bedroom, to be honest, based on my market research in the past month. I guess you make some sacrifices, right? If you are that determined to live alone, then you move further out of the city. If you really care about being in Seattle, walking distance from all of the great things we have here, then you live with roommates.
Yeah.
And especially when you're in your early 20s, you've got a little bit of time, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
He talks about there. He says, don't tell me about my parents and pulling myself up by your bootstraps and stuff.
Well, welcome to the modern era, buddy. Those days are gone.
We had this other story about mortgage rates, which I found really fascinating. This other story about mortgage rates, which basically says that mortgage rates are at a point right now, I think they're like, last time I checked earlier today, it was like 7.3%. They are not the 3% that they were a couple of years ago.
Right,
and so all these people who bought homes at 3% or some, I have a friend who got in at 2.7, which is insane. Never going to happen again.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they say. Those people now are looking, they've been in their house a few years now. Are they going to sell their house anytime soon and buy something else? No, they're not going to.
Right.
Because the house you're in right now would cost you double what you're paying for it.
And a monthly payment with a 7% interest rate. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so it's causing this big logjam of people who are suddenly like saying, hey, I'm actually not going to sell this house, which is then causing a big problem for future home buyers like Laura, who maybe in a year or two might think to herself, hey, you know what? I've tried the roommate thing. I've tried living on my own. Now I want to try to buy a house. But the interest rate's so high. Do I want to pay $6,000 a month?
Well, and people get stuck in their starter homes, right? When I was growing up, we lived in a really small house when we first got to Seattle. And then when my sister and I got a little bit bigger and a little more unwieldy, we moved into a bigger place.
Your parents are like, I got to get out of the house.
Yeah, I need a little space. We need a yard.
Yeah.
And one of the families that I nannied for maybe 10 years ago, they were looking at the market at the time that their kids were starting to get to that like 8 and 12 age, and they realized that it would be cheaper for them to build an addition onto the lot in the house that they already had than to upgrade. But then that takes starter homes out of the market. You know, the home that they moved in with, you know, babies or as a couple is no longer. And then you fill out the lots, right? I mean, I know Mike Salk and I have talked about this, how they, you know, people will raise these older houses and build these McMansions that go literally to the property line.
Right, foot line of a property line.
You might have a 4,000 square foot property line. You might have a 3,600 square foot house. Yeah.
Covers
everything.
Or a house goes down and now six houses are on that lot, which is some of the necessary evils of growth in a city.
Yeah.
I mean, and now we're talking about neighborhood character and on all that stuff.
And then you talk about traffic congestion when you have six houses and where it was once one.
Here's the thing that I just keep coming back to, though. Whenever I read these stories about how high rent is now or how high mortgage rates are now, everything old is always new again. Like, you probably remember this, but like back in the 70s and 80s, mortgage rates were really, really high.
My parents had a 14% more interest mortgage rate.
14%. People hear that today and they go, what? 14%? Yeah. You know, my parents' first house that they ever bought was actually a condo. And I asked them about this because I was like, oh, we're going to be talking about the story. What was the interest rate you guys paid again? And again, they lived down in Southern California. So that was it's an expensive area.
Right.
18%. Was their first mortgage rate. Right. And this would have been in 1977-ish, something around there.
Yep, you bet. Tough time economically in this country.
And you got to think to yourself, like, yeah, I know that people are saying that everything's so expensive these days, but there was a time where 18%, 14%, those numbers, if we had those today, the world would shut down.
Well, you're talking about... you see people post social media gas prices when it was $1.20 a gallon. Yeah, in that era's money, 1970, say 77.
Yeah,
$1.40 is worth about $4.40 today. So the gas prices we paid were very comparable to what they were paying, given what money, how far money took you back in the 70s.
It's
like I said, what old is new again.
I know, it all comes back around.
I think Laura made the best point of all, though. Prioritize what's important to you. You want to live by yourself, you're going to have to live outside the city. You want to live inside the city, you're going to have to get some roommates.
Yeah, buy a cheaper phone plan, whatever, like save money.
I always make the best point of all.
She does.
You really do. Well, thank you very much, Laura. When we come back, let's play a little cringe or bass. Jake found a story that if you can find a based version of this story, you'll win a prize. I'll give you a Cairo coffee mug if you can find a way this next story is based. Furries. I'll leave it at that. It's the Jack and Spike Show with Jake Skorheim in for Jack Stein. We'll be right back after these.
Don't miss the Jack and Spike Show. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Cringe.
I am like the Willy Wonka of friends.
Or base.
So when I stand up and pull my pants up, that's how I know I'm about to bring it for you. Oh, Dadcore. Thanks, Laura. Thanks for saving that one. It's time to play Cringe or Based. It's a little game we like to play, whether or not something that's going on in our society, in our culture, is cringe, bad, or based, meaning good. And, Jake, you found this story of a middle school in Utah.
Yes.
Where parents and teachers are uniting to...
Well, no, for, not parents and teachers.
Or parents and students, I should say.
Parents and students,
parents
yeah.
and students. Thank you.
Parents and students are united in the fact that they think that some students at the school are dressing inappropriately, mm-hmm. causing distractions at school, and the students that they say are dressing inappropriately are dressing as furries. Do you know what a furry is?
I thought I did, but not if they're doing it at middle schools. What are furries?
Okay, so according to WebMD, which I don't know why, but they actually have a description of what a furry is. A furry is someone who has an interest in animals with human qualities
okay.
and who sometimes dresses up as a cartoonish-like version of an animal.
Okay, So I didn't know.
Picture a mascot.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But this is
exactly.
how people, it's cosplay, right? Basically?
Yeah, like imagine the Mariner's moose.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I doubt the Mariner's Moose wants you to think of him as a furry, but he is essentially what a furry would dress like.
Okay, I got it.
And then there are furry communities who are only attracted to other furry communities.
Right, that's kind of the knowledge of it I have. So there are people,
yeah,
it's kind of a fetish, kind of what they're into. Yeah,
sexual yeah. thing with it. I think we have a package on this. Can we play this a little bit, Laura?
There was some kids dressed up as animals, and I heard that another kid got bit by one of them.
There's a lot of speculation surrounding the protest that happened at Nebo Middle School Wednesday morning. Nearly 75 students and parents showed up facing the school, saying they're unhappy happy with how administration is handling reports of harassment.
Okay. You guys cannot record me without my permission!
This is video a Nebo Middle School student took last week. Parents say there's an issue between some students and others who call themselves furries.
Can you pause it, Laura? The student we just heard yelling there, was that a furry?
Yeah, who's being recorded with someone's phone.
By other students.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, when you corner an animal, animals get really upset sometimes. Can you keep playing it?
People who enjoy dressing up as cartoonish animals.
Back when I went to school, you know, you couldn't dress that way. You couldn't do certain things. And I think it kind of needs to go back a little bit. Like, I know kids need their own personalities, but it's ridiculous when kids are dressing like animals and licking and biting people. I just don't think that's okay.
But the Nebo School
Strong
District tells us it's not that extreme. Seth Sorensen says no one was scratching or biting anyone and that there are a lot of untrue rumors going around.
It actually is not something that's been occurring. In fact, a lot of the information that's been put out there is completely incorrect and inaccurate. And so we're still trying to get on top of that.
Thank you.
This is Strudel, a member of the furry fandom.
So can you pause it here real fast? So they're talking to, I doubt Strudel is her, you know, her birth name.
No,
probably.
I wouldn't think.
That's not God-given, you don't think?
I don't know. It might be.
It's Chablis, of all things.
It could be. Strudel is dressed like, is it a Dalmatian? How is Strudel dressed? What kind of dog would you say this is?
Oh, I'm so bad with dog breeds.
Okay.
I'm the absolute worst person
is
to ask.
Is it white with black spots?
Yeah, I mean,
that'd be a Dalmatian.
It looks like kind of a Dalmatian-y type dog. It's an adorable dog for a human dog. And so she's talking to the ABC4 in Utah here, and Strudel is a member of the furry community there locally in Utah. She's not a student. I think she's just somebody who lives nearby.
Yeah,
and, you know,
more power.
Whatever. So what you're hearing now is he's a furry. Go ahead.
Though they've been a furry for over a decade, they have their own opinions.
It's crazy that it's escalated to this point where these kids are being so distracting to their peers that their peers want to stage a walkout. So to have, you know, the next generation kind of muddy our name and not represent it very well, it is kind of disappointing. Continue doing things you like, continue dressing up, continue making art, but maybe let's keep it outside of school hours.
As she's talking, she's actually like scratching the side of her. No, she's not
doing
that.
Licking the back of her paw.
Yeah, she's licking her paw.
She's giving herself a bath. Yeah.
So, but I actually think she makes a good point there. She says, you know, the distraction of the younger students, you know, obviously Strudel is living her best life and she's enjoying life as a furry and she's an adult and she's not being a distraction in school. So I would think that the school would say, you know, hey, we understand we have a strict dress code.
Yeah.
No, they wouldn't allow people to walk around like they're bikini barista stand people. And they don't want people walking around like they're furry people either. But the school doesn't seem to be saying that. The school is saying, well, no, this is not happening quite as the students and some of the parents of the students are saying. People are wearing things. They're wearing, according to this article, people are wearing a lot of headbands that have ears.
Yeah.
Sometimes they wear little tails, you know. It's like little, how do you feel about that? Like, should that be allowed in schools, or is that one of those things where you go, like, I mean, we got to draw the line somewhere?
I think you draw the line, and the line is behind you if you're wearing a tail and ears at school.
There you go.
You've gone over that line.
I love biting people and licking people.
It's funny because when the person said that's not happening, those are exaggerated rumors that are being falsehoods that are being put into the media sphere. You remember the story about the classroom with the litter box in it because the kid identified as a cat?
No.
Okay. So
it's a great story, though.
It is a great story, but it was not based in any reality whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
There was a media story about how this school was so catering to the whims of people who couldn't identify as human, even, let alone what gender they are, that we had to put a litter box in our classroom. And it was, I mean, there were people on Fox News heads were exploding about litter box in classrooms and how far the far left had gone.
Sure.
But there's no valid.
But that wasn't actually happening.
It never really happened. It was a meme that's turned into a rumor that turned into a news story.
Okay.
Much like, you know, people biting or scratching their classmates. I don't care. And even if they're not biting or scratching their classmates, which the person said has not happened, I think there's a certain amount of decorum and civility and uniformity. I'm not talking about school uniforms. But, you know, when I was a kid, girls couldn't come to school dressed like Madonna videos.
Sure.
You know, it couldn't happen. I mean, half shirts and mini skirts and pins everywhere. It was a distraction.
And that was
before we had phones to record everybody.
I know.
If you're coming to school in a fur costume, whether you're biting or licking or not.
Listen.
And people are just pointing at you. Or even if you got your own little club. Do it outside of school bounds. Do it. Have a furry club at school, after school.
After school.
You know, go to your locker, get your furry costumes, go to be furries and be fun, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, probably the only furry school should be the mascot, right? The only furry.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a difference. What you were describing, Sengo, the litter box kid, actually, I just saw this in the article. I didn't know this, but furries are people who have a sense of community with playful animal quality, like costumes.
Right.
Therians are people who actually believe that on some level that they are animals. So the boy you described would probably be a Therian cat, even though you said it didn't happen.
Right. And well, it didn't happen in a classroom. I'm sure that there are cultures out there
who believe they're cats.
Who do all kind of weird and wonderful things. And, you know, everybody's got their own flavor and way to get through life. If you can avoid ripping every piece of filing in your office to shreds because you get to go home and dress and act like a cat, more power to you. But don't put it in the office. I wouldn't let the stuff into our office. I wouldn't let it into our schools.
I didn't plan on asking this question today, but if you were a furry or a Therian, uh-huh. If you believed that you were part animal, uh-huh. what would Spike be?
I think Sloth.
Because you already have a very furry name.
I think Sloth is the natural choice because it's such a short transition from what I do to Slothnum.
You would dress as a Sloth.
I don't know. Yeah. What kind of animal would I be? That's a great question, by the way.
I don't know if it's a great question.
I'd be a horse.
I'd be
a horse of some kind. Yeah, horses are wonderful, noble creatures.
Big, beautiful,
loving, soulful creatures with big, beautiful, soulful eyes.
Yeah.
Who bond for life with their owners. You know,
That's nice. Yeah. I don't know. You kind of sell me on this furry idea.
Sure. Well, how about you? Reptile skin? What would you put on?
No, I mean, Jake the Snake. People always say Jake the Snake. Yeah. But, like, just me crawling around the ground doesn't make any sense.
No.
Uncomfortable.
Have you thought about it ever, being a furry?
I mean, I'm thinking about it as I'm saying it right now.
Yeah.
And I'm stretching it out so I can come up with a better idea.
Okay.
I would say maybe a dog. I mean, just
a good dog.
Just a friendly, likable, golden retriever. I feel like that's what everybody wants to be.
And this is real. The video from Japan where people have like dog suits.
Yes, I have seen that one.
I mean, they look crazy good.
The super realistic. Now, that guy is a Therian. That guy believes he is part animal.
HR says we can't ask you, Laura. I'm sorry. We would like to ask you your thoughts on this or what animal you would
she
be.
She wants to volunteer what kind of animal she'd be. I'm not going to stop her from doing it.
Fair enough.
But probably a cat.
I could guess that.
Are you a cat person more than a dog person?
Yes, definitely.
Cool.
Yeah. You're a dog guy?
Yeah, I'd pick a dog, I think.
I'm a dog guy.
Or an exotic bird or some kind.
There you go. Cool for you. When we come back, no stupid questions. Believe me, we've given you...
Can't get any dumber than this.
Yeah, seriously. We've lowered the bar. So give us a text at the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 888-973-5476. We'll answer your questions about anything, any topic, political, local, economic, food preferences, food allergies, furries, you name it. We'll be right back after these.
You're listening to Jack and Spike.
There are no stupid questions.
There are only stupid answers. Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Jake Skorheim in for Jack Stein. It's time to play No Stupid Questions. We appreciate all the feedback and interaction we have with you, the listening audience, 888-973-5476. Now, Jake and I have found over the course of the last few months that we disagree on quite a few issues that are important to our life, right?
Yeah, but we still like each other.
We like each other very, very much. And that's what I love about people asking questions that I completely disagree with, but I do like the questions. From Mike in Tacoma, is the mainstream media biased and does it lean to the left? I think there's bias in all media. I think that's been the case since media became a for-profit industry. And you cultivate an audience that wanted to hear a certain point of view. Back when it was just the nightly news and there were three channels and you had the news between 6 and 6:30, that was deemed it had to serve a center purpose. It had to inform and not give opinion. When media became a for-profit industry, opinions became valuable and marketable. And news, I'll use air quotes, and that goes both ways, liberal or conservative, news organizations became, for not to be pejorative, but propaganda machines to serve an audience a message that they knew the audience wanted to hear and would continue to engage with so they get an audience to sell things to.
I was listening to a Patton Oswalt exchange that he had the other day. He was on he was selling a new show that he's doing where he looks back at the historical events. I don't exactly know the name of the show, but if you're interested, look up Patton Oswalt.
History? No, I'm sorry.
No, it's not Drunk History. But he's a very funny guy. He voices Ratatouille, which is a great movie. But he was talking to the ladies on The View, and he goes, he was basically talking about this idea about news these days and what news has kind of devolved into.
Yeah.
And he goes, I think what a lot of people are seeing when they look at the news, they're not seeing the news. What they're seeing is the news business.
Exactly.
Which is a nice, easy way to put it. I can answer Mike's in Tacoma question, too. Is the mainstream media biased and does it lean to the left? Short answer, I would just say yes. So next question.
Very good.
I just think that like most, I would say that most news organizations are run by people who probably went to very fancy schools, mm-hmm. and they tend to be more liberal in their views.
Okay.
So like there's a lot of Columbia journalism people, there's a lot of Harvard people, and they tend to have, you know, they tend to lean a certain way. And so when they make it into the news organizations and then when they start reporting on things, that is their view of the world. And that's totally fine, which is why you have, you know, success on a place like MSNBC or CNN. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, you have people who go to Fox News because that's where they want to get their news.
Right. And those are intelligent people as well, college-educated people as well.
Yeah, Fox, yeah. I mean,
and the number one network in the world is Fox News.
Yeah, they do very, very well. We have two stations on here. We have CNN and Fox News. And you made a joke about it yesterday because we want to balance things out.
Right, otherwise the whole studio will tip on its side like Fred Flintstone's car.
I think every news organization, you know, is biased to some degree, except talk radio.
Or they'll lose their audience.
Yeah.
There you go. 425 says, what about health codes at these bikini stands? I hear comments about attire, sexual activity sometimes, drugs, whatever. And those are outliers. We said it again. No one seems to bring up the sanitation factor. How many food and drink while wearing such few strings?
That's right. They make food and drink.
Do you think that's the health is an issue at bikini barista stands? I'd never considered that.
I mean, for us,
I don't frequent them.
For us or the bikini baristas?
I would think for the consuming public.
Steam wands. Very dangerous.
Steam wands are dangerous.
There's a serious burn risk. I was a barista before I worked.
You were too?
Here. I was, yeah. It's kind of a rite of passage, right?
Very good. Yeah,
in
if you grow up in this area, you'd sling coffee at some point.
Yep. Yeah. And the biggest thing was no sleeveless shirts because of the armpit sweat.
It gets really hot
an espresso machine.
Yeah. The other thing people don't understand about baristas is how bad you smell of rancid milk.
Oh,
at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting. And literally your clothes that you go home in, I mean, not in the bikini baristas because they're not wearing clothes.
Right.
I guess they just shower. Which you can actually pay extra for.
No, you can. You can.
At certain ones, you can pay extra for that.
That's where we get in trouble.
But yeah, you would go home, and I just remember like the smell. It's been 25 years since I worked at a coffee's place, and I still can remember that smell of the clothes at the end of the day. Well, I mean, just spilling milk on yourself all the time. It's disgusting. What was the question again?
Sanitation at bikini barista stands. Should the consumer be worried? I guess that's, I'm assuming from the question.
I'm assuming if you're at a bikini barista stand, you're not super worried about sanitation. Like,
exactly.
You probably don't care too much.
Yeah.
You're hoping to get something. You're not there
for the coffee.
Did you wash your hands? If I give you $5, could I watch you wash your hands?
Gross.
Yeah, hey, I'm telling you, different strokes for different folks. Let's see. Interesting factoid. Harry and Meghan's kids, this is from Suzanne in the 425. Harry and Meghan's kids, if born in the United States, would be eligible to run for president at the age of 35.
Totally
thus
fine.
Completing the long plan of the royals to once again take over America.
Well, but Harry's not royal anymore.
Right?
He had to give it up.
I bet they'd let him back in.
You think this is some sort of a secret
long
plan,
game.
Some
yeah.
mission?
Long game.
They got together with the queen on her deathbed. Yeah. She's like, listen, Harry and Meghan,
I need you to move to America.
You guys
to the colonies.
Yeah, go to the colonies.
Go to the colonies and take up residence.
Someday you can rule them. Yeah, I don't think that's what they're doing, but they are right. They could be, and that's great. Megan's, you know, she's an American citizen, and so her kids get all the rights because they are here.
There you go.
God bless them. And by the way, we're going to talk about ageism in a little bit.
Please.
We'll get to it later. We'll get to it
later. Okay. Let's see. Any other questions we should get into here? How many astrobiologists are there? Is that really, Doug?
Here's a good question.
Doug and Shoreline? Go ahead.
Here's a question. If your degree isn't good enough for you to pay it back, why do you want me to pay for it? Do I get the money? Do I get the money if I paid it back since I spend it on the account? Do I get the money I paid back?
That's the do I get the money back I paid so I can spend it in the economy? That's the argument for relieving student loan debt from most people, is that they can then put that money into the economy. They can buy things they can pay that are taxed, and businesses can pay taxes.
Sure.
So, you know, the cost of student loan relief is somewhat offset by that money being reintroduced into the economy, generating more tax income for the government.
I would assume then that you're a supporter of paying off student loans.
The
government forgiving student loans.
Forgiving some student loans for folks who have been faithful in payment and have already paid. I am for forgiving abusive and excessive interest rates on student loans. Mm. Not irresponsible borrowers who can't make a living in their degree, which is the pejorative nature of this particular question.
Sure.
I know it's a very difficult question.
It's a complicated topic.
It is. And,
yeah.
and people who have paid off their student loan in full who didn't get a hand, I can understand why they would be against this.
I paid off.
I did. I got mine. Why should I help you?
Tens of thousands of dollars. Yeah. Took me years to do. And so when I hear somebody talking about student loan bailouts and how it's time and how, you know, I just roll my eyes, almost like Harry and Meghan. Whenever I see a Harry and Meghan story or see a student loan story, no thank you.
But when I see an 82-year-old woman who is still paying off student loan debt.
Show me that 82-year-old woman. Okay, that's what I would say.
I'll bring her up
here. We'll have her on Monday.
Let's find the one person in America at 82. I'll show you a woman who made some bad financial decisions. If at 82, did she just graduate five years earlier?
No.
She graduated
40 years.
In 1974, she graduated. Still paying off loans?
Yes.
She's good with her money.
When we come back, someone who's not, Bob Rivers is going to join us. When we come back, and he's not 82. We'll be right back after these.